We want to continue to pray for Neva and Joe. They kept Joe overnight at the Elk City Hospital. The oncologist was really busy yesterday, so he wanted to study the results of the CT, EKG, and the chest x-ray, and he's supposed to see them this morning. And then we want to continue to pray for Chris Carnahan and his wife, Denise. He handled the chemo treatment well this week, but they're still waiting for the results from his brain scan. And then we want to pray for the family of Rudy Ferrari.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today so thankful for your faithfulness, for your word that has said that you are our healer, Lord, and we stand on that promise. Today, as we bring Joe and Neva before you, praying for Joe for his healing, thankful that he seems to be doing better this morning. But we pray for a good report that everything goes well as they go over these tests that were done and everything. And the results, we just pray for a good report and that Joe would be strengthened and healed and God, that he'll get to go home and that your name would be glorified through their lives. In Jesus' name, we pray for that. Lord, we pray for Chris Carnahan and his wife, Denise. We pray for him as he's handling this chemo treatment and that it went well, but still waiting for the results from the brain scan. Lord, we pray that you would give them grace and peace in this time. Lord, when there's unknowns, it's the heart becomes unsettled and the mind can tend to jump to all sorts of conclusions and think the worst case scenarios. But Lord, I pray, give them peace and give them grace during this time. Let their mind be stayed upon you, because we know he whose mind is stayed upon you, you will keep him at perfect peace, is what your word has said. So we just pray for peace for them and strength physically, emotionally, spiritually. Just carry them through and minister to them. And we pray for the family of Rudy Ferrari. Lord, you know the details there. We just pray, God, that you would be with them, minister to them, and let your will be accomplished in their lives and do a great work there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Elk City Ministerial Alliance is hosting a cookout in the park this Sunday the 10th from 5 to 7. And it will also be the kickoff for the Christmas food baskets. There'll be inflatables and fun for all ages. Okay. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks off. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Bar Rice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Tim Patterson. His title for this morning is Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones, But His Words Stand Forever.
Yes, amen. Yes, we were looking at Psalms 12. Ooh, that hurt. We were looking there in Psalms 12 of everything that's going on through that, just people flattering lips, speaking against him, but then in verse 6, he just settles in. You know, we talked about how David tends to be, and we relate to it, that a lot of times his psalms can start out either prayerfully or you know, painfully, sometimes whiny, you know, but in the end, it leads to worship, and a lot of times he begins to turn the spotlight off of the problem onto the problem solver. And points us in that direction. And so, and just some great quotes concerning the Word of God. And I'd like to read here today as we conclude out on this. But Charles Spurgeon said, "What a contrast between the vain words of man," and this is concerning chapter or Psalms 12, "vain words of man and the pure words of Jehovah. Man's words are yea and nay, but the Lord's promises are yea and amen." I don't know the man's first name, but a commentator by the name of Horn said, "The words of Jehovah are holy in his precepts, just in his laws, gracious in his promises, significant in his institutions, true in his narrations, and infallible in his predictions. What are thousands of gold and silver compared to the treasures of the sacred page?" I think often of a man. I think he was in a concentration camp. I don't remember exactly where it was, but all he had was one page of scripture, but that one page carried him through his whole time, and that one sacred page became a treasure to him. You could have thrown him all the gold and silver in the world in that concentration camp, and it wouldn't have carried him. But that right there carried him. I think it was David Guzik that said, "This means that the Word of God can be trusted in every sense. It is good, pure, and tested thoroughly. We can trust that God has tested his own Word, but it has also been tested by students, scholars, critics, and doubters through the centuries, and the Word of God still stands." And this is my favorite part of this quote. "It is like a mighty anvil that has worn out countless hammers that have pounded upon it." I don't know how many times you hear people try to discredit the Word of God, but by the time it's said and done, they've wore themselves out. And oftentimes they come to the conclusion, well, you know what? God is real. There is a truth to God's Word. Or they just continue to stay willfully ignorant. But they've exhausted themselves. But God's word is that anvil. It can't be crushed. It doesn't matter. It's going to stand the test. Charles Spurgeon again said, "The Bible has passed through the furnace of persecution, literary criticism, philosophic." Thank you, baby girl. Let me get back there. Hold on just a second. Technical difficulties. This is the joy you get of working with your children. It's great. I love it. Oh, you know what? It took us to the wrong one. I apologize, y'all. There we go. There we go. All right. "The Bible has passed through the furnace of persecution, literary criticism, philosophic doubt, and scientific discovery, and has lost nothing but those human interpretations which clung to it as alloy to precious ore. The experience of saints has tried it in every conceivable manner, but not a single doctrine or promise has been consumed in the most excessive heat." His word, it won't, can't get it hot enough to destroy his word. His word will stand the test. Time Magazine, so this might be an older Time Magazine quote, yeah, but probably. It says, after more than two centuries of facing the heaviest guns that could be brought to bear, the Bible has survived and is perhaps the better for the siege. Even on the critics' own terms, historical fact, the scriptures seem more acceptable now than when the rationalists begin the attack. It has time and again proven historically accurate. The word of God is very historically accurate. Charles Spurgeon quoted Robert Hawker in this and said, do sinners talk of vanity? Let saints then speak of Jesus and his gospel. Do they talk impure words? Then let the faithful use the pure words of God, which, like silver, the more used, the more melted in the fire, the more precious they will be. My, what a thought. Wait, Christians ought to talk about God? You better believe it. When we get together, let them hear us talk about the word of God. Let them hear us speak of his word and how, I'll tell you what, some of my best memories, some of my greatest memories have been sitting among some of the elder saints and hearing them tell the stories of how God brought them through and of scriptures that they leaned on and how they held on to God's promises. And I'll tell you, when you begin to hear that and it just stirs something up inside of you, kind of like David, and I can't remember which psalm it is, but he mentioned, he said, we've heard the stories, if I could summarize it. This is the TPV, Tim Patterson version. But he said, you know, I've heard the stories of what you did for my fathers, my grandfathers, God, and how you were there for them. I'm so thankful for that. But then he makes a step and he says, but you're my God too. And I need a story for myself. And what a thought. You know, yes, build up on what Grandma and Papa have, and Daddy and Mama, and you hear them talk of the words of God and how it's carried in through, or maybe that you don't have that background or that spiritual background of a heritage of Christianity. Be the start of it. Let your children hear you talk about how God showed himself faithful and how you stood on God's word and how you've tested it and found it to be true time and again, and that we will talk about God's word. That I love that. He said the more it gets melted in the fire, the more pure it becomes. It's just, you know, the more you use it, the better it gets. That old song says, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more I love him, the more love he bestows. And so true is it is. And then F.B. Meyer said, as silver enriches its owner, so does the word of God enrich its lovers. Nothing so strengthens the intellect, clears the judgment, enlarges the views, purifies the taste, or quickens the imagination, and educates the whole man. Now, think about it. The word of God is so full of richness, and not just great intellectual writing skills. I mean, these were not your most learned men that wrote some of these. Some of these things were, they were fishermen that wrote, but man, they sure, when God got on them, they were poets and didn't know it. I mean, just the word of God became alive in their lives. And so I encourage you, just get the word of God. It says silver enriches its owner. The word of God enriches those who love it, and how true that is. If you'll love his word and put a priority on his word in your life, it will make you rich in him. And just to conclude on that, Nehemiah chapter 8, if you get the time to read it, I encourage you to read it. You'll find there that they had been building up and refurbishing the temple, trying to rebuild Jerusalem. Ezra had started. Nehemiah was now a part of that story. But in Nehemiah 8, they begin to look at that, and it says they called for Ezra and they said, Ezra, bring the law. And Ezra comes out and it says there's a pulpit or platform. It was a raised spot where they put Ezra, Hence the reason we have platforms in our churches, not because Pastor thinks he's better than you. We're not trying to elevate ourselves. I mean, Pastor, if you're listening to me, that's not why the platform's there for us. The platform's there for the Word of God to be elevated, to put a place and a priority. I could be a curmudgeon on that, and I'm not going to. Our actions speak louder than our words. We can put it on a stage and leave it there and never read it. But we prioritize the Word of God, and that's what they did in Nehemiah chapter 8. They had been working physically on Jerusalem, and they were doing a lot of great things, but it became evident that there was need for a spiritual revival. And the only way spiritual revitalization ever happened was when they began to embrace and understand the Word of God again. They didn't just read it, they understood it. How important that is. Don't just read the Bible. Understand it, study it, because as you begin to study the Word of God, it can bring revival. And in Nehemiah 8, it says the people they begin to weep as they realized how out of line they were with the Word of God, and how far removed they were from relationship with God because they had neglected His Word. And Nehemiah tells them, he says, "Y'all go and celebrate. This is a day of rejoicing." You've realized it. You've recognized where you're at. This is what you're going to, I want you to go rejoice. And then the next day he says, now y'all, they read, they understood, and then they begin to build what they call booths. And that was, they revitalized a tradition that they had done back, and they had not done it since Joshua. This was a long time period, but it was a celebration of their liberation from Egypt. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Week of Booths, and they were to make booths in their houses or in the wherever it was that they were at. They were to make booths, and they were remembering how God brought them through. And man, when you get the Word of God and it becomes alive again, some of us, we just need to fall back in love with Jesus, and really the only way that happens is when we begin to really understand the Word of God again and fall in love with it again. And say, you know, God, give me a fresh baptism of love for the Word of God. But when that Word of God got a hold of them, they begin to understand it brought revival. And they said, wait a minute, we haven't been doing this, and this is something we should have been doing all this time. We have forgotten where God brought us from. Our children don't even know why they don't even know about this. We got to reacquaint them with what we've been doing what we do to honor God. And man, a revival began to take place. It had a physical revival, but it doesn't do a whole lot of good to rebuild a city physically and or to try to revitalize a church physically and paint the walls and everything else if you ain't going to have a spiritual revival. And that starts with the priority on the Word of God and knowing that His Word stands sure and it will stand forever. And it is a pure Word, and that you can trust His Word. Don't you just love that? That God is not a man that He can lie. His Word is pure. His Word is true. And people would, you know, and it was holy men of old, as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, wrote these words, is what Peter said. It wasn't just, they didn't just drum up some great ideas and write them down. And no, they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write these words. I think if you were to ask Peter, he'd say, don't ask me, man. That's not, you know, what I understand is lures and fishing and nets. And man, he had me talking about adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. I didn't know what I mean. He was challenging me, man. I don't know. God just moved me, and that's the way I wrote, and that's what God instructed to the church. And that's just a wonderful. I mean, it wasn't like Peter was a robot. Thus saith God. You know, no, his personality was there. And throughout Scripture, but God's Word stands sure. We believe in the infallible Word of God. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. This is the Word of God. From front to back, it stands sure, and it is the Word of God. And what if it says it, whether you believe it or not, that settles it. We've all heard the phrase, well, he said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, actually, he said it, and that settles it. But, you know, I get your point. I get your point. I understand. I'm glad you believe it, but you believing it doesn't settle it. It settles it in your heart, but it's settled forever in heaven, amen. And so just let his word come alive in your life. Amen.
Amen. I needed this today, brother. I appreciate you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate you. You have no idea how much I needed this today.
Oh, praise God.
But glad. God knew
yes,
yeah. how much my heart
yes.
needed it.
Yes.
So I appreciate yes, you, ma'am. Sir.
Thank you.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know.
Can I add before, something real quick?
I'm glad you did that because I just remembered. Before we sign out,
yeah.
do you have any final words? And would you please share information regarding yes. your church?
Yes. So our church is at the corner of 2nd and Clay there in Cheyenne, Cheyenne Pentecostal Holiness Church, right just south of Martin's there. We have service Sunday school at 10, service at 11 on Sundays, and then Wednesday, 6 o'clock Bible study. But this Saturday is Pioneer Day in the park at Cheyenne from 10 to 2. We'll be out there handing out bottles of water, some bracelets and scripture cards. Just come by, get you some water, get hydrated, come have some fun, get you a funnel cake. We're not serving the funnel cake. Somebody else is. Get y'all some funnel cakes. Just come out, have a good time there at Pioneer Day. But we'll be there. I don't know exactly what color our tent is, because we're borrowing it. But you'll see us. I'll probably have my Hawaiian shirt on. So just look for a guy with a big orange Hawaiian shirt on. And, so you won't miss us, I promise. But we'd love to see you there and, love to see you at church on Sunday if you don't have a home church.
Thanks, sir. We appreciate you. Again, you have been tuned in to the Hour of Power.
Thank you.
And it is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Tim Patterson, in a little bit. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see y'all next time. And stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.